Welcome to the eLaborate Topics podcast, where we focus on lab-specific strategies for medical laboratory professionals. We're proud to be the healthcare detectives that work behind the scenes to get the results needed to influence medical decisions. Let's grow together and jump right into the lab.
Hi, friends. Welcome to another episode of eLaborate Topics. I am your host and leadership mentor for this episode, Tywana Wilson. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome, welcome, welcome. So glad you landed on this podcast. Here at eLaborate Topics, we give you practical strategies that you can use both inside and outside of the laboratory. It is a weekly show where myself, along with my co-host, Lona Small and Stephanie Whitehead, give you those tips and bring you guests that's also in the laboratory space that gives you plenty of tips, tools, and resources that you can use to be successful in your laboratory journey. Do us a favor, share this podcast out, and when you do, let us know. You can connect with us in the eLaborate Topics group on LinkedIn, or you can connect with us on social media. You can follow each of us individually. So today I'm going to give you some practical tips that every great lab leader needs to have. These are 10 core critical competencies for your laboratory journey. I have recently been speaking with new laboratory leaders, new laboratory professionals, and one of the things that always comes up is, what can I do to improve my leadership? What can I do to position myself to move up the laboratory ladder? And oftentimes they think that I need more technical skills, more technical skills, more technical skills. I need to be the best in hematology or chemistry or blood bank or infectious disease. And that is great. You definitely need a strong technical base. But today I'm going to challenge you to make sure that you have that strong base with competency skills that you will need along your journey, whether you are on the bench or you choose to move into management or supervisory roles, or if you choose to move into other areas that might be outside of the laboratory, but you're also utilizing your degree in medical laboratory science. And so my theory is, as you are developing your technical skills, develop these core critical competencies now. So begin to lay that foundation. So whether you are a student and you are developing your laboratory skills, also take the time to develop these core competencies. And if you develop them hand in hand, I guarantee you, as you go throughout your career in laboratory medicine, that you will be further along to be successful, regardless of the role that you choose. So there are 10 critical competencies that every great lab leader needs to have in order to be successful, in order to create global impact, in order to create change in your laboratory. So let's jump right into it. The first one is, you have to be self-motivated, right? As a leader, it's important to be able to motivate yourself to take action to move forward towards your goals. So whether they are your personal goals or your team goals, leaders are driven to get things done, and they need to be able to lead their team to do the same. So if you are a leader, have a team, so your supervisor, your manager, your coordinator, or lead tech, you need to be self-motivated, because your team will watch you, right? And if you are not motivated to get things done, guess what? Your team is going to be like, well, my leader isn't motivated, then why should I? And they may think, because you're in that role, well, he or she is successful in that role and they are not motivated. So having that self-motivation, whether it's to complete projects as needed with your team in the department, whether that's being self-motivated to get additional education, go back and get an additional degree or certification, being self-motivated is going to be a competency that you need as a leader, regardless of the role that you're in. The second skill or competency is having the ability to delegate. You can't do it all yourself. The most effective leaders surround themselves with skilled people, define their responsibilities, and then get out of the way. A single person is quite limited, but many hands can get a lot done. So learn how to share your workload. Learn how to delegate. Delegation is for everybody that's involved. I know as lab people, sometimes we think, I don't want to delegate my work. I don't want to put it off on somebody else. And we have that mindset that delegation is putting something off on somebody else. I don't want to give my work to somebody else. And it's not about giving your work to somebody else. It's about giving somebody an opportunity so that they can shine, especially if you are delegating work that's in their strength zone, that's in their zone of genius. Have you ever given somebody a project? So I have some people on my team who are Excel wizards. I mean, they know how to create formulas. They know how to create, they know how to tables, you name it, they can do it. And so that is not a particular strong suit of mine. And so I enable my teammates who are masters of Excel to be able to help us with some of the dashboards. And it's not about pawning off any work. It's about letting them shine too. And I give full credit. Such and such was the one who put this spreadsheet together. They was the one who created this tool for us. And so being able to delegate, but you have to know what to delegate, right? And as I said before, you have to know what to delegate. You got to know who to delegate it to. And then you have to be clear about the expectations of it. And then get out of the way. Don't micromanage the process. If you're going to delegate it, then delegate it and let that person own it and lead it and not you micromanaging the process. The third competency is communicating effectively. You might have a clear picture in your mind of what you like to see happen. You know how you run a play through your mind and you like, okay, this is going to go this way. This is going to go that way. Or when I say this, they're going to respond this way. Well, unfortunately, nobody else can read your mind and it doesn't always go the way we think it may go. A leader is responsible for sharing his vision or her vision and making their desires known. People can give you what you want when you communicate clearly what needs to be done. It goes back to being able to communicate clearly. What is the expectation? What is the ask? And not just communicating verbally, but also in written form, right? So being able to communicate in email, being able to communicate if you're sending a bunch of text messages, being able to communicate verbally. You need to be able to provide status updates and keep everyone on the same page. Employees lose motivation when they don't understand the current situation fully. So it's very important that you give clear instructions and make sure everybody understands. And a good rule of thumb would be to ask those that you are giving instructions to repeat back what they heard you say. Because sometimes they may go in agreement and say they understand, but they didn't really fully understand what you said. That has been a recent thing that I've tried to incorporate, is making sure that people really understand what I'm saying. Like, tell me what you heard. tell me the instructions that you gave, because sometimes what's clear as mud to me is not clear as mud to the next person. So hopefully you all have wrote down those first three, being self-motivated, the ability to delegate, and communicating effectively. And again, it doesn't matter if you're in a supervisor role or a management role. These are competencies that you will need both inside and outside of the laboratory, in both your personal life as well as your professional life. All right, hopefully those are good to you. We'll go on to some more competencies that you'll need. The fourth one is developing others, having that ability to develop other people. Being a leader isn't just about utilizing others to reach your own personal goals. It's developing those around you. From a more selfish perspective, the more skilled your employees, the more they can assist the company, the more they can assist the team. So share your expertise and help everyone around you to grow. I once heard a leader in the banking industry say, in order for him to move up to another position, a higher level of authority, he needed to make sure that there were members on the team that could assume his role. So he would share his information. He would make sure that they had the tools that they needed. He would invest in their personal and professional development. And I thought that was awesome, because sometimes leaders don't always look to develop their people. And part of this could be maybe a old mindset or a historical mindset that if I know it all and I'm the only one that know, then I'm going to be an asset to the organization. And I'll tell you, that's just old mindset. Today, that is not true. If you hold on to your information and you be a knowledge hoarder, a company can separate any employee at any time, regardless. And so holding on to your information and being a knowledge hoarder does not make you more valuable. So that was a old mindset that people used to think back in the day. If I hold my information in, that I'll be the only one that can do this particular task, or I'll be the only one that can do this particular job. And that really is not the best mindset to have. I've seen employees be separated from organizations after being there for 20, 25 years. And I'm sure in some instances, there were things that only they did. And guess what? Those companies are still standing and they have moved on without that particular employee. So developing others, and really that's to a sign of a great leader. A great leader develops their people, right? Your team is only as strong as the weakest link. And if the weakest link is not developed, guess what? The whole team, there's a broken link inside of the whole chain. The fifth competency is be committed. You can expect greater commitment than you're willing to provide. A leader sets the ceiling, so everyone else settles in somewhere below that point. So set the ceiling high and show them what true commitment looks like. Another way of looking at this is the law of the lid. So your team will never surpass the lid of the leader. If the leader's lid is a 7, guess what? The team collectively will not outpass the leader 7. The most that they could perform is at a 6. They will bump up against the leader's lid. So you have to set your lid higher so that your team's lid can be higher. Being committed. So knowing that your team see you being committed to the cause, being committed to the project at hand, being committed to being their leader and really owning being their leader and not just from a positional state only. Inspiring others is our sixth competency. A great leader knows how to inspire others to do their best work. It's not always easy to inspire those content to simply showing up each and every day and collecting a paycheck, but it is possible. So show your motivation and commitment. And here's the thing, even if you're only able to inspire a few people to do their best, it will make a positive difference. Start where you are. And again, you don't have to have a specific title to be inspirational, right? People want hope. People are yearning for hope. And it inside the lab, outside the lab, our patients, our clients, people want hope. People want to dream, right? And so being inspirational to others, inspiring others to do their best, noticing what your team are doing, noticing what your individual contributors are doing so that you can inspire them to continue to operate in their zone of genius. So being that inspiration, one of the things that I have learned, especially with social media, is that you can inspire so many people, but you may never hear about it. So keep showing up. Keep being you. Can't be anybody else, because quite frankly, everybody else is already taken. So keep being you. Keep inspiring other people, even if you don't hear anybody say they're inspired by your words, they're inspired by your footsteps, because you don't know who's watching, who's looking, and whose life you're making a difference in. And for me, you can even think about this with your children. So I think about my daughter. My daughter is 2 years old and she's like a little sponge. And she's looking at stuff that I'm doing and saying stuff that I'm doing. Some of it I can't understand exactly what she's saying, but I have to keep showing up and keep doing those things that I think are positive, so that when I can understand all of the words that she's saying, then I know that I'm making a difference, because it would be reflective in her. And that's the same thing with our teams, with those that we mentor, with our high school students, with our middle school and future STEM professionals and laboratorians. So inspiring others, think about that as you go throughout your day. If you are a trainer for all of your students that come from the medical laboratory science and technician programs, how can you inspire them to be their best? Right? They're young, they're eager, they're excited about entering this field, and you are their first touch point. So how can you inspire them that the decision they made is still an awesome, rewarding experience and decision? And you can do that through your inspiration of helping them navigate through being a laboratory professional. Have a clear focus would be our seventh competency. If you don't know what you won't get it. Leaders are clear on their vision and readily share it with others. A clear vision serves as your roadmap, as your blueprint. Employees can easily ask themselves if their actions are contributing to the attainment of your vision. Know your focus and communicate it effectively. So having a clear focus, even as you think about your career, and I talk about having a career roadmap, know your focus. What is your 5-year goal? What is your 3-year goal? So from a personal standpoint, being clear, understanding your why, your purpose. Why do you get up each and every day? What is the focus for you? And then think about that with your career. What is your focus? What do you want to do? Where do you want to make an impact? If you are a leader or supervisor with teams, what is the focus outside of the deliverables, the metrics, the monthly metrics, the hospital metrics, the employee engagement metrics? What is the focus for your team? So does your team have a why? And what is the mission on how to get there? Because if you're very clear on that, then you're able to meet those metrics. But if your team is in disarray, they are not in alignment, the goal and focus of the team is not clear, guess what? Then you have a lot of arrows going towards a lot of different targets. So having a clear focus. The eighth competency is show respect. Strive to treat everyone fairly and avoid playing favorites. Everyone is worthy of a basic level of respect, so ensure that you are given it. And when I think about this, I think about showing people respect regardless of their role. I know when I first entered the laboratory field, there was some sort of hierarchy. Like if you would, you know, it was like it was a hierarchy, and then you might have had your processors and phlebotomists, and then your techs, and then your four-year degree techs and supervisor. Like, treat everybody with respect regardless of the role. The laboratory couldn't operate without having each individual member. And I have seen it in my career where people are not kind to people that they feel are in roles that they feel is beneath them. And to me, all of these roles are important. If our pre-analytical processes with our phlebotomy team, our processing team, our lab assistants, if they are not operating at a high degree of excellence, guess what? Those that are testing, your medical laboratory scientists, your cytogenetics, your histologists, guess what? You're not going to be operating at a high level of excellence either, because it all is a trickle-down effect, right? And so everybody has an important part to play, and everybody deserves respect, regardless of their educational status, regardless of their social economic background, regardless of their race, their gender, regardless if they are the youngest person in their lab or even, you know, the most senior person in their lab. Everybody deserves respect. And just because you're a manager, if you have a supervisor or manager title, you still have to treat everybody fairly and have that level of respect for everybody in the way that you talk, in the way that you communicate, in the way that you deal with each of your teammates. Now, I have seen this, the whole playing favorites. You know, sometimes it can be difficult when you move up the ladder in your same laboratory. So you went from being peers to now you're being their boss. It can play a part. You went from we're hanging out after work. Now I have to keep everybody at the same level of accountability. Could be difficult, but you do still have to show respect, and you have to be unbiased and fair in your interactions with your team. So showing respect, and that's huge, whether it's inside of the lab or outside of the lab, showing respect will take you far. The ninth competency would be confidence. It's natural to be drawn to others who have confidence. You are viewed as more capable and trustworthy when your confidence level is high. So be comfortable with your skills and your plan. A lack of confidence will limit the ability of others to trust your vision and judgment. Early in my career, I can remember having to go to the floor and draw patients. So we performed phlebotomy. We also did processing at that particular organization, as well as performing the testing. And I can remember going up to the floor, and most of the patients had been there for a while. They were difficult sticks, and I didn't quite get my confidence up because I felt like I was It seems like every other room, I would get somebody I would miss. I would get somebody I would miss. I would get somebody I would miss. And so that confidence. And so guess what started happening? I started processing that as I'm not good. I'm not a good phlebotomist. I can't do this. And so when I would go into rooms and I would miss the patient, I wouldn't be able to get the stick. Guess what I would tell myself? Yep, see, you're not good at this. And so that confidence, having confidence in yourself and in your abilities. And I tell you that story because when you're first starting out doing something new, you may have times where you don't feel your confidence is quite there yet, right? But don't subscribe to the negative self-talk, because if you do, it's going to be difficult to try to overcome that, because then your mind, you're going to be like, okay, these are difficult cells under the microscope in hematology. I can't identify them. Now, every time you see a blast or immature cell, you're going to be thinking that, oh, I can't identify this, or I don't know what it is. So having that confidence, and it's true, when you are confident, people want to network with you, people want to know you, people want to talk with you. And when opportunities come up, people think about you because they feel like you're more confident in your abilities. So having that confidence is huge. And if it's something that you don't feel as confident in, keep challenging yourself so that you can gain the confidence, right? So if you don't feel comfortable giving presentations or public speaking, guess what? Keep putting yourself in positions where you have to give a presentation. You have to give a report out. You have to say something at the meeting. And the more you do it, the more confident you become. In the case of the phlebotomy, if you know that that is going to be your primary role, then keep putting yourself in situations where you have to get those difficult sticks, right? So building up your confidence. It's almost like teaching a kid to ride a bike. When they first get on the bike and without any training wheels, guess what happens? They fall. They fall, they cry, and then they don't want to get back on anymore, right? And so having that confidence to get back on, to keep trying, to keep doing it until you finally get it. And then it's like, this wasn't difficult. So the same way with yourself, having that confidence with yourself. And then the 10th competency, which is one of the most important ones, is being decisive. Leaders make the tough decisions fearlessly and take responsibility for the outcome. Leaders aren't afraid to make decisions. Whether you think you are or think you're not, you are making a decision, right? It's easy to make quick decisions when you're clear on your values and those of the company. If you can't make up your mind, your leadership skills could be called into question. So practice making small decisions quickly and follow through on them. It's easier with practice, just like with the whole confidence thing. It's easier with practice. And you'll be surprised by how much more you accomplish when you're able to make a clear decision. And as laboratory professionals who's listening to this, understand that you don't always need all the facts, all the details. I'm speaking to myself on that one, because if you've ever taken DISC personality assessment, then you know that most lab people tend to be C-wire, which is highly competent, like details, they like the facts, but the drawback there is sometimes it takes too long for you to make a decision because you're waiting on all the details, and sometimes you don't have all the details, right? And so practice making decisions. I've seen it in the lab space quite a bit, especially with newer techs, is that they are afraid to make a decision. They're afraid to make a mistake. And so at least make a decision and ask your leader. So if there's, you know, maybe there's a patient, an abnormal patient that comes through, come up with a decision, and then you can bounce that with your lead tech or your supervisor. And you can say, I got this problem patient. This is what I'm thinking that I should do. What do you think? But already make a decision about it versus I got this problem patient. What do you want me to do? Right? So making those decisions, if you know that you have taken the last reagent or the last reagent is on board your instrument and it's Friday and it's not going to be enough to make it through the weekend, then make a decision, especially if you're the one on the bench, so that you're coming back with solutions. The people that have solutions are the ones that continue to grow and excel, right? And so in that case, if you know there's no more reagent, it looks like we're probably going to run out, then make sure you talk with your inventory person or your supervisor or your lead tech or your manager and say, we have the last GGT on board and we're not going to make it through the end of the shift. I know that our other sister hospital uses the same reagent. Is it okay that I call them to see if we can borrow some to get through the weekend? And then can you get some order? Right? That way you've taken initiative. You've owned your area. You've owned that there is a lack of reagent, right? So being able to be decisive about what you want in your career. So if you are going for a new job opportunity, be decisive about what you want as part of your agreement to work there. And it's not all about pay, people. Yes, pay is a major part, but there are other things that you can be decisive about. So maybe the work environment is important for you. I know it's important for me. I don't want to be in a toxic environment. So being decisive about knowing what you want and what is required for you to come on board with that organization, right? So being decisive about decisions, making a decision, whether that's in your personal life or your professional life, it will be very important for you. So these are competencies that you will need regardless of your role in the laboratory, but especially if you are a manager, a supervisor, or you have people reporting to you, or they are reporting up through you collectively, you need to have these core competencies. And I would guarantee you do, I would recommend that you do something each and every day to start to strengthen these competencies so that they become second nature. So as a recap, the 10 critical competencies are being self-motivated, having the ability to delegate, communicating effectively, developing others, being committed, inspiring others, having a clear focus, showing respect, building your confidence, and being decisive, making a decision. The good news is you can grow in these areas and grow your capacity in these areas in which you are not as strong in. You made a decision today to listen to this podcast, to this episode, so you are already ahead of the game. So thank you so much for listening to this episode of Elaborate Topics. I do have some reflection questions for you. One, how many of these areas are you strong in? So out of these 10, how many of these are you strong in? And then out of the ones that you're not, what are you doing to actively grow yourself in those competencies? Thank you for tuning in. Please share this broadcast out. Continue to listen and support us. We definitely appreciate you being on our journey and being the awesome laboratorians and friends of the lab that we know that you are. Thank you for making an impact. And until next time, my friends, have an amazing day.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Elaborate Topics. where your hosts discussed relevant strategies for laboratory professionals. Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and listen to us on directimpactbroadcasting.com. Stay tuned for another episode with information you can use to excel in your laboratory career.